Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our, well, this is the first time I've been on for the new year, and really glad to be back with you. Joining me, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys.
Hello, Happy you new guys. Year.
Yes, so glad you're back, Steve.
Well, I'm glad to be back, and I hope that this is going to be a great year for everybody. You know, this is our 35th year of ministry, and we'll celebrate that anniversary, and we're hoping and praying that the things that we've been doing for the past 35 years is going to make this the best year ever. And we hope that that's true for you and all the people you love and care about. Now, you know, we've talked about this one-year Bible for men, one-year Bible for women. And today, I just want to tell you what it talks about. In the devotional, which is just 100 words every day, Misty does one, I do one, she did the women, I did the men. But today it talks about being a waterman. Now, if you're in California, there's a greater chance you would know what a waterman is than if you lived, let's say, in Kansas. A waterman is a person that takes all of the things that are so challenging about water, rapids, waves, wind, undercurrent, and masters those and makes them into something fantastic. For instance, surfers are watermen because they know how to take the wave and make it wonderful. A person that sails takes the wind. Someone that does the rapids on a river. These are watermen. Well, the first waterman was Noah. And he prepared and he mastered the flood. And he did that by following God's direction. John the Baptist was a waterman. He didn't let the undercurrents of the Jordan River prevent him from baptizing another waterman who was Jesus, who did a lot of things with water. He could turn it into wine. He could bless people with water. And then what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be watermen. We're supposed to go out and bring people to Christ, disciple them, and to baptize them with water. And so everybody has a place as it relates to water in the faith. And this is just one day of inspiration. And I hope and pray that if you don't have to start the one-year Bible on January 1 at any point, but it can be such a blessing when we all go through the Bible together at the same time. And I'm challenging you this year to be a waterman, and that is to do whatever you can to move people toward baptism. And to bring them under the water and bring them out of the water. And what a joy it is to work with somebody and see them baptized and become members of the faith. Baptism, of course, doesn't save us, but it's an indicator that we are believers. All right, if you want to join us here, it's 1-800-229-3000. That's our phone number here. New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk with you. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. They are also watermen. You don't call people water women. It's just all watermen, you know? Same thing. We'll take this break and we'll come right back. And I hope and pray, again, this is going to be the best year ever for you. But you have to make some changes, and we'll help you any way we can to make those changes.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back and we're very, very glad that you're with us here today. But emotional freedom, that is our workshop that we are doing on the 21st. And it's a great one. I mean, if it's anxiety, depression, misery, suffering, struggle, whatever it is, we can help you get free. And you get a $120 savings through January the 6th. That's this Friday. So please sign up and save, but also find the freedom that so many people have found at the Emotional Freedom Workshop. Right.
Steve, yes? As you were teaching us about being watermen, a term I'd also never heard before, I was thinking that New Life teaches us to be watermen of our tears. When the world tells us, be tough, don't cry, crying is weakness, New Life teaches us there is such value and healing and worth in being watermen of our tears.
That is a great
thought. I
love
that.
Thank you for
cleansing,
that contribution.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Isn't it amazing, though, when you finally do just break down and cry? What a great feeling that can produce rather than just holding it back. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to Amber. She's calling us all the way from Washington, D.C., and she listens on WAVA. Sure glad that she does. Hi, Amber. How are you today, and how could we help?
Hi. Hi. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm a pretty new listener, and you guys have been amazing and very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I'm kind of at a breaking point. I just separated 2 days ago from my husband.
Oh, boy.
This is the third time. We've been married for 17 years, quite dysfunctional. I'm a Christian. He claims to be a Christian. I don't, you know, that's for God to know, but life actions and fruit is definitely not there. He has pornography addiction, I believe a gambling addiction that never really came to a head. When I set boundaries and left previously, he never really admitted what was going on, but our house was in foreclosure. There was a bunch of spreadsheets and just a lot of deception. And so I didn't, at that time, my kids were really little. We have three kids. I had some boundaries. So I knew I needed them, but I didn't really have family support and the counseling support. So in the last 4 months, things have gotten better in the sense of, if he is gambling, it's very minimal. Like, I'm in charge of the finances, so the money, we're very financially strapped, as I'm sure the whole world is currently with the state of life. But we've just, God's moving, and I know part of the financial strap is because he wants to move us in the direction, and I'm willing, my husband's not. So things are breaking in the house, and there's just a whole, another 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But
so what's the question for us?
The question is, I gave him an ultimatum. To go to Every Man's Battle this weekend. It's definitely God ordained. It's, you know, I live in that area, and he's refusing to go to get counseling, and then turned around. Like, he will tell me what I want to hear because he very much tries to manipulate.
Okay, so
and then attack, and I'm the problem.
So you told him to go.
Did he go?
You told him to go, and he's not going to go.
No, he will not. He will not. Right. Well, he hasn't fully given me an answer, so I'm praying that he will say yes. He said no the last couple of days, and since I left, and said no to all counseling and help. And I'm at a place at this point where I'm willing to confidently move forward in a divorce. If that's how God, like, he's got to be willing, and there he's not willing. So my point is, I don't really know the next boundary and step if he doesn't. If he says no, I'm not going this weekend.
Okay, so. What did you tell him? Did you tell him, I'm out of here if you don't go to Every Man's Battle? What actually did you actually say to him would be the consequence if he doesn't go?
Yes, that the only chance for our marriage to actually have a marriage and sustain is through Jesus and him. This is the starting place, going this weekend and committing to go. I haven't been at the home the last 2 days. I stepped out because he will not leave.
Okay. So first thing is you would want to stick with that. And, you know, it's Tuesday. You might want to remind him, if you have not signed up for Every Man's Battle, then you're not signing up for the future of our marriage. I'm not changing. I'm not waffling. I'm going to file for divorce because you have decided that we're not going to be together in the future. That's what I would do. Because really, it's not, you're not asking him to enter into a one-month inpatient program where he has to quit his job and get this taken care of. You're saying, how about a weekend? One weekend. That's all you're asking. A weekend.
Right.
Okay?
So,
Amber, I'm curious. He's telling you what he won't do. Has he said what he is willing to do to save the marriage? Does he even want to save the marriage?
Yes, he desperately does not want me to leave him.
Okay.
Because of my enablement, my codependency, I do everything. I run, you know.
Sure, I get it.
I come from a workaholic family. Yeah. So
so what does he say? Yes, of course. But what does he say he's willing to do? Like, he wants you to stay so that you do everything. But what is he willing to do?
Yeah, he hasn't said.
Like, I would say, okay,
I'll help you around the house, or I will, little things. But I said it's counseling. Like, it's not about household duties.
Right.
That's not our problem.
Right.
I don't have a voice. You don't hear and listen to me.
Well, and that you need to own the fact that you have stepped in and filled all of the gaps for him, right?
Yeah.
And that you haven't allowed him to step into those places or to see where he needs to, and that you need to step back. And you're asking him at this point to step up. You've offered him what you think are the ways to step up, but he needs to be willing to step into that. And you're not hearing enough from him of what he's willing to do to save the marriage.
So another question then, because I have stepped back, like you said. So the past 4 months, I have been angry and bitter and gone through the emotions and severely depressed. And so from my kid in his eyes, I see where they think, oh, she's the problem, because I've changed. I have done work, and it's ugly going through the emotional part of it. It's horrible to realize I'm the problem. Like, I'm the problem. And
wait,
so now,
how old are your kids? How old are your kids?
Are 16, 14, and 11.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if they think you're the problem, then you have to tell them what the problem is. It isn't right for them to think you are the problem because they don't know what the problem is. So,
we've had hard conversations.
Okay. So, you've had hard conversations with the kids?
He tells them I'm the problem, and
why haven't you told them what the problem is?
I have.
Okay.
Just 2 days, like these 2 days ago. So they're old enough, you know. I said, I have told them I am leaving. I am not, like, I lose my temper, and I'm angry, and I'm trying to be emotionally stable and what I should be in Christ, and in this toxic environment, I'm not able to, and I have taken the slack for your father.
Hold on a second.
You know, in my...
Hold on.
Okay.
You left and left the kids with him?
Well, I'm still involved, so I'm just not spending the night there. So I'm cooking breakfast, taking the kids to school, all of my motherly duties.
Okay.
But at my friend's house.
Well, I'm just going to ask Jill and Alice to help you here. I've got a couple of questions after that. So,
Okay.
Amber, I want you to consider your previous separations. to both identify, okay. did they work at all? Did you see some improvement in your husband's behavior because you left before? And then what drew you back in? Because I want to protect this version of your boundaries. Most of us, when we set a boundary, we come back too quickly when promises are made or when we get lonely, when it gets difficult. And so identifying what drew you back and what you need to do differently this time to allow the separation to do its real work. And usually we need a support team of other women around us that will help point out our vulnerabilities and that will keep us strong. But your situation is complex because even as I advise that, your kids also need you and need you in the house.
Yeah.
And so your separation may need to become an in-home separation and even potentially a legal separation with you remaining in the home but in a different room than him for the sake of your children. How do you react to that?
That's great. I'm fine with that. I definitely think I let him back too soon. The last separation was like 6 months, and he said all the right things. He also now is at a much better stable point. So his addiction now rolls from one thing to another, like maybe working out in the gym.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so look, him saying things. You have to eliminate him saying things as any kind of criteria for doing anything differently. Okay, that is a mistake when he says things.
Yeah.
Now, you've said to him that if you want our marriage to go forward, you need to go to every man's battle. I think that's a very minimal level of expectation, giving everything that's there. So you need to be home with your kids. The in-house separation would be a very good thing. But the only way you're probably going to get him to have any potential of change is for you to get an attorney and file for a legal separation that puts you in the house with the kids and him out of the house.
Okay.
And when he sees that you have found an attorney and are preparing for legal separation. In fact, today I would find that attorney and I would be able to say to him, I have an attorney, we are preparing for legal separation, and all you have to do to reverse that is go to every man's battle. But as I've said, if you don't go, you're choosing for us to be divorced, because I'm not going to be married to a person who continues to go from one dependency or addiction or immorality to another. So if you want this to change, you have to go to every man's battle this weekend. Now, if you don't call and sign up today, I'm proceeding with legal separation. Do we want you to be separate? No. Do we want you to divorce?
Right.
No. But it takes these, especially someone like you, who kind of fallen into this, whatever the man wants, I need to go with for the sake of the kids or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's hard for a man to see that there's a real difference until you do something that's very, very different and out of character for yourself. When you show the strength that's there, it gets his attention. Anything else are just meaningless words out of your mouth, just like he has only given you meaningless words out of his mouth. This is tough. It's very tough to follow, but we've seen it get the attention of a man like him many, many times.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're saying to him, it's okay for you to be like you are, and us maintain status quo. Jill, Alice, any final words here?
Well, when a separation is necessary, Amber, I really recommend a minimum bracing yourself for being separated for about 6 months while you gather the evidence of, is he in ongoing therapy and men's groups, and how's he acting over a length of time, months and months of time. Sometimes not even that amount of time is sufficient. So it's not a hard and fast rule, but it's something you've got to start wrapping your head around, that you need that kind of amount of evidence. Please also consider family therapy. Whether or not he goes, your kids need to be in a space with you where they can both express how angry they are with you. And it's good to take responsibility. Yeah. I am a part of the problem. I am. But to allow them to process those emotions with you, and hopefully he'll join you.
All right. Really, really sad that you're going through all of this. I'll send you a copy of Intimate Deception, and I'll send you a copy of Worthy of Her Trust. And, I don't wish this situation on anyone. But sometimes it starts because we think we're doing the right thing.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, 1-800-229-3000, and we have a special gift, a thank you gift for anybody that supports us here in the month of January. It's the brand new book, Every Believer's Thought Life. Now, Marcus Brotherton is my co-author, and the last time we did a book together, it was Book of the Year. It was Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles, and we decided to do something that impacts every adult, every person. People say to me, what is the book about? I say, it's about everything, because it's our thought life that determines everything, what we do, our attitudes, and it really can help you defeat all of those destructive mental patterns. It can give you victory over all those destructive distractions and temptations. And it's our way of saying thank you. Thank you for supporting us. And you support us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Go to newlife.com. You can do it on the app. All sorts of great ways, easy ways to support this ministry. Now, let's go to Lucy. And she's calling from Los Angeles, listens online. Lucy, welcome to New Life Live. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I'm calling for a friend. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
And I want to know, what would you suggest a person do to get into a recovery program, or, you know, steps from alcohol addiction? She's already read your books, likes the one Take Your Life Back a lot.
Do you know if she has a Life Recovery Bible?
Life Recovery Bible is a little, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I'm going to send you one of those, because that is the integration of the 12 steps into Scripture, where the 12 steps actually came from. And we have Life Recovery groups all over and online, and we can tell you about that, or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and Terry Ward is the person that's over all of our life recovery. I think she helps start new groups and things like that, but we'll get you in touch with those folks. But I'll send you the Life Recovery Bible and the workbook for everybody. We have a workbook also for recovery from divorce. We've got one on sexual integrity, depression, eating disorders, all of those. So I hope and pray that those will help. But that's the beginning. And I love it when somebody starts with a Christ-centered approach to recovery. And it just changes everything when you're talking about God as Jesus, not just some vague concept of a higher power. Yeah. That's how you do it. If you hold on, we'll help you. But I want you to hear from both Jill and Alan.
Does this open the door to everything else? I mean, that's just the first step and where they should start.
Well, Lucy, I think this person should probably get into therapy, right, to talk about the underlying issues that are fueling the addiction. But she needs to be in groups with other people who are struggling with the same thing. That's how people move through it.
Like AA.
So whether it's AA or Life Recovery or Celebrate Recovery, you know, find groups, and you want to go And you could go with her. There's lots. I know in AA they have open meetings where you don't have to be the addict to go.
We have the same kind of thing in Life Recovery.
Right, in Life Recovery
meeting.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you can go and like volunteer to go with her.
What is Life Recovery thing?
Okay, Life Recovery is came out of the Life Recovery Bible, which just sold its 4 millionth copy. Ooh. It's kind of the Christian big book, you could say. And we have life recovery groups all over the country. And these life recovery groups, where it says higher power in the AA literature, well, that's Jesus Christ. So it's Christ-centered. Yeah. Now, nothing against secular AA meetings. Many people start there and then they end up finding Christ or wanting something deeper, richer. But if you can start her off in a Christ-centered recovery program, that's what life recovery is. Some of the others they're not integrated with the 12 steps. They have their own 8 steps or 6 things or whatever. And we believe that it's just such an easy transition for people in 12-step, secular 12-step, to make it into these Christ-centered 12-step.
And now, this is online?
It's online, and there are face-to-face meetings also, especially in the L.A. area. And I'll have Terry Ward be in touch with you. She can help you with your friend.
That's good.
But anybody can find out about the meetings by going to newlife.com and then also by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So I'll send you the Bible.
Thank you so much.
I'll send you 2 Bibles, one for you. You'll understand it so much better, and 2 workbooks. But these are amazing things that have come out of New Life, and every note that's there is written by a Bible scholar who is also a recovering Bible scholar. So that's why people in prison love these Bibles. Prison Fellowship gives them away. Because they believe that the commentary and the notes, they're speaking their language. Well, they are, because all of them are recovering. 1-800-229-3000 if you want to join us. If you want a Life Recovery Bible, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, gift of any amount, we send you every believer's thought life. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the 1-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. I mentioned that it is our 35th year, and Club New Life, it's been a $30 membership since 2007. So in our 35th year, it's going up to $35 a month. But so are the benefits and the value of Club New Life. For instance, we're just about to do our first of the year Club New Life gathering online. And I'm going to be presenting information on toxic tribal affinity. Toxic tribal affinity, well, we all know what a tribe is. We want to belong to something bigger than ourselves. And so that tribe might be a group of psychologists, therapists. Our tribe might be a church, but sometimes because we love our tribe and we want to be part of our tribe, We're not willing to stand up and say, wait a second, this isn't right. Transitioning a seven-year-old child is not right. Things like that. Beliefs that have existed for years, being abandoned in our church, it's not right. And we just go along with it. Our school systems teaching certain things. It's not right, but we don't stand it. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to present that information, and then we'll have a great time of talking about what you want to talk about as a member of Club New Life. So come join us. Join up. $35 a month. I'm telling you, it's the foundation of everything that we do here, from these small gifts every month. And we know the small gift, a huge sacrifice for so many people. You can find out about it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But right now, let's go to Todd. He is calling us from Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hey, Todd, how are you today?
Hello, how are you doing, sir?
Doing all right. How can we help?
Thank you. I am honored that you are taking my call. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. I had a question, or a series of questions, if I may.
Okay.
Okay. I've been listening for a while, on and off, and I keep hearing about every man's battle.
Right.
And I am considering heavily attending sessions.
Yeah.
And my question is, and this is just based from things I've heard over various broadcasts.
Yeah.
What I'm afraid is going to happen is that I will attend, and it will trigger feelings of self-hatred. Mm. And I was wondering if there are have been cases of men who have attended the program and that has happened.
Well, if it has, it is the rare, rare exception. Because when you go, we call it a shame-free zone. No one is there to shame you, make you feel bad about you, but what you find is other men struggling the same, good men, but this area has just been a really, really tough struggle and has produced defeat after defeat as you work on it on your own. But you come together, you find out I'm not alone, and you also discover that people have been dealing with this and know the path for victory. So you don't have to hate yourself. When you leave there, you can feel good about yourself because you start to have pure days, clean days, victorious days, and it changes everything. We've got people celebrating 15 years of sexual integrity because they went to every man's battle. Well, now, let me say this to you, Todd, and then I'll turn it over to Jill. If it wasn't so, we wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. We save marriages not by shaming people into being different, but we give them new information and a path to succeed. And it's that way with all of our workshops. But I believe if you're afraid of shame and self-hatred, this is the place for you to go. I don't know what other groups do, but I know we don't do that. Jill, what were you going to say there?
Todd, I think it's actually the opposite. Because when someone is struggling with sexual integrity, they are battling their own feelings of inadequacy and self-hatred and trying to keep those at bay. And I think by going to every man's battle, you actually give up that self-hatred and realize there's hope to work through it. You don't just have to white-knuckle through life trying not to hate yourself. So I would say the very thing you're afraid of, I'm wondering if that is something that you really struggle with, mm-hmm. hating yourself, and you've managed to kind of keep it, you know, keep a lid on it as much as possible, and so you're afraid that all those feelings are going to come out. But I think you're going to be, yes, flooded with emotion, but I think you're going to have some really good, positive emotions right. at the end of it.
I do, too.
Todd, what is your worst fear? If you felt the extent of your self-hatred, what's your worst fear of what you would do in that flood of emotions?
Well, my self-hatred has a tendency to come out in fits of rage that I try to keep bottled in.
Yeah.
And what I'm afraid of is that rage will come lashing out.
Todd?
That is what I'm afraid of.
This is the place to resolve that. When people say to me, I have a problem with sexual integrity, I don't know where to start, I say, start with the anger that you feel. I've never had one person say, oh, I never have anger. That rage is at yourself, and it's often at God. It's at yourself because why can't I do this one thing? And it's at God, whether you believe in Christ or not. It's like, why can't God just fix this for me? And you're lashing out. And it's at probably, most likely, there's a female in your past that is a big source of that anger, which kind of leads into sexual integrity problems. And then many times there's an absent dad or a very distant dad or cruel father that all builds up. Now, does any of that relate to your life, Todd?
No, sir, it does not.
Okay, so what do you think is the source of this rage that you experience?
It's a question that I've asked God often, and that is, if I am the way that I am, why does it seem as though something is wrong with me?
Well, look, here's the deal. When a baby is born with spina bifida, People don't say, well, this is the way God made this baby. This is the way the baby's supposed to be. No, it's a fallen world. And in a fallen world, just like the first family, somebody killed the other brother. We have horrible things happen. It's not, if you have this thing, this lust, it's not because God wanted you to be that way. This is what happens in a fallen world outside the garden. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? But a lot of people use this as an excuse. Well, this is the way God made me. Well, no. This is how you've developed in a sinful, fallen world. Now, what are we going to do about it? That's the question. And God is there to help you deal in this sinful, fallen world with whatever it is that develops. Now, if you can't think of anything in your life that would cause you to be extremely angry and rageful, you need to get into counseling. But going to every man's battle first would lay a great foundation for that counseling, because you need to clear up that mystery. If you do not know why you are full of rage and anger, you need to figure that out. As a man, yes, you can, sir. And you can do it.
Well,
Alice, you have a thought?
Todd, our emotions, they all do make sense if we look close enough at the story of our lives. The emotions don't come out of nowhere. They're all linked to something. And every man's battle will help you find out why. Why are you struggling with this problem? And it's so normal, Todd, for people to be afraid of bringing their feelings into the light because they're afraid that it will drown them and be out of control. But God's design, Todd, is that when we start to confess and bring our emotions into relationship, especially professional structured relationship like EMB, the emotions actually start to decrease. Yes,
yeah.
The power of them decreases.
Yes.
And you'll be in a setting with a counselor who is very experienced at doing this with you. So you'll have a guide throughout the session. You're not just going to be in a big conference listening to information. No, you're going to be led in an intimate setting to explore your story and then to start safety planning how to handle this when you get back home.
I will send you Every Man's Battle. I also will do whatever we can to help you get there. And it's this Friday. You can sign up. Everybody can sign up. Washington, D.C. this Friday.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Alice Benton and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and we're really glad you're with us here today. I want to be sure that you know that, well, you can hear New Life as you're hearing it now. You can hear it on the app, which you can get by downloading the New Life Live app. Also, newlife.com is another place. You can go to wherever you subscribe to podcast, and we'll be right there. You can subscribe to our podcast. A lot of ways to hear it, and I hope that you'll try to hear every single one. We mentioned this Friday is Every Man's Battle. On the 21st is Emotional Freedom. February, Intimacy and Marriage. Now, that's the last time that Mylon and Kay are going to be doing it live with us. And this is the one to go to. If you thought, well, we ought to go sometime, this is the one to go to. It's in February. Please come and join us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's how you find out about that.
So,
all right,
Steve,
yes.
I had one more comment for Todd.
Please.
So Todd was talking about his rage, and I find when people have one really strong overriding emotion, like anger, which is a common one, it's like they're not in touch with any of their other emotions. And so a good thing to ask yourself is, if I didn't feel angry, what would I feel? Because it's usually a cover for all the other emotions.
Yeah, and many times, like if I was at a men's conference and I said, all right, all you people dealing with guilt, raise your hand. And a lot of guys would raise their hand.
Right.
If I said, a lot of you guys dealing with anger, raise your hand. A lot of guys raise their hand. If I said, now how many of you are living in fear every day?
Mm-hmm.
Very few hands
right.
go up.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
Or sadness or hurt.
Yes, yes. These other emotions that might appear or make us feel weak,
mm-hmm.
many times that's the thing that
right.
we have to be dealing with. All right, our final phone call here is I'm going to talk with Mary from Philadelphia, WFIL. Glad you called, Mary, and how can we help you today?
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a family member that her husband betrayed her in a very hurtful way.
Mm.
And because she couldn't respond positively towards him, she feels as though it's her fault that he took his life. Mm. He committed suicide, yeah. And I wanted to know where do they go when they do that? And also, you know, she feels as though she should have, this wasn't the first time that he's done that. He's had other problems, but this was so hurtful. And in the end, I think he realized that he had really broken the ties that binded the two of them together and realized that it would never go back to the way it was before.
Okay.
And I think that's probably why he did that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about what talk about.
I wish he would have reached out to God, but he
yeah.
didn't.
Sure.
Because I know Jesus is alive and well. I had a near-death experience.
Okay.
When I was
now
19.
We want to help you. We want to help you with this issue. And we're almost out of time. And so I'm going to have Alice start and then Jill, and then I've got some comments I want to make.
Mary, okay. I do not believe that suicide is an unforgivable sin. And I know that people that get to that point are in such desperation and shame. And like you're pointing out, usually a real disconnection from a spiritual community and from God. And so I believe that there is mercy and compassion as God understands what led a person to that point, even the weight of their sins, of the betrayals that this man perpetrated against his wife. And so I think that God's judgment is also combined with his mercy. And so I believe that people that commit suicide can still be saved, can remain in a saved position with God. And of course, it depends on their acceptance of Jesus. And suicide is such a dreadful, mm-hmm. dreadful decision for the person themselves and for their family that's left behind. But I believe it is a forgivable sin.
But it is a sin.
We are
not supposed to take our own lives and take ourselves out.
No. And it should, well, anybody considering, you really should consider what you're doing to the people that you're leaving behind. Most people that commit suicide, they just want the pain or the turmoil to stop. And there are so many effective ways, if you're willing to do them, where we can help you stop that turmoil and that pain. Jill, you have some other thoughts here, too?
Well, yeah, I agree with you, Steve. And it's always so surprising that people get so, well, not surprising, people get very myopic and they can't see any other way out. And Mary, while it's true that we can help people by intervening, it sounds like your friend had a long history of him doing suicidal gestures. And it is never another person's fault that someone has made this decision. People make this decision in and of themselves. And he decided it was too hard to reach out for the help that was needed.
Yeah.
In working with people who have considered suicide, I've heard many times that the person believes this is best for my family because I'm such a shame and a burden to my family. I'm going to take myself out as a solution for healing for my family. Now, it's a lie. It's a deception they're believing. But that can be the motivation. I want to recommend for your friend, Mary, because she's probably in an all bad position. It is her fault that he committed suicide. I want to recommend eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. And we have therapists in our New Life Network who are skilled in that form of therapy because it helps to break down that lie that she's believing about herself. And we have to eventually come to a balance of acknowledging, of course, I was an imperfect wife, but that is not my fault that my husband chose to commit suicide. And so please give that information to your friend.
Mm-hmm. All right. We have folks who specialize in trauma, and someone that you love, married to, committing suicide is one of the worst traumas ever.
Yeah.
And so we have people that know how to deal with trauma specifically. They're specialists in it, and they can help you. I've had the trauma treatment for a certain issue, and boy, did it ever change things for me. So I know that it can work. You call us. We'll try to find that trauma specialist for you. Well, as we close up, I just want to encourage you men, every man's battle could be a great way to start this year. Get the stuff that plagued you in 2022 and before out of the way. It's this Friday in D.C. Finances. We have people that have scholarshiped folks through every man's battle. Don't let finances prevent you from calling. Call. Find out about it. Now, emotional freedom, that's online January the 21st. It's an amazing experience for those who struggle emotionally and you don't know what to do. Intimacy and marriage, February 17th in Orange County. Restore, February 24th in Orange County. And then Lose It for Life, once a year we do Lose It for Life. That's March 18th, and that's online. And it can really help you lose the weight and keep it off, but also find a new way of being. We'd love for you to support us. Club New Life, $35 a month. And a gift to New Life will say thank you with the brand new book, Every Believer's Thought Life. And my thanks to Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Jill Hubbard, to all of you who pray and listen or watch on YouTube. Thank you. God bless you. We're working with you to have
Thanks
the best year ever.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.